This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, the azaleas in full bloom, practice rounds in bloom as well. The PGA's first major of the year, the Masters in all of its splendor. Augusta National, the scenic home of golf down in Georgia. This year's field exceeding 100 for the first time in 50 years, and my golly, storylines abounding. What with the arrival of Tiger Woods on Monday, Rory McIlroy trying to complete golf's career slam, Bubba Watson trying to join Jack Nicklaus as the only golfers to ever win three green jackets in 4 years. Bubba winning a year ago, beating Jonas Blix and Jordan Spieth by three shots. And the play of Spieth here in 2015, yet another storyline to develop. Playing is good, if not better, than anyone in the world at the spry age of 21. Anticipation running on high, as always, as we get set for Pro Golf's first and without question the game's most high-profile tournament of the year. It's all Masters tonight with hometown grown and Golf Week's contributing writer Lance Ringler. Sitting in tonight, a little bit later, my sidekick on the airwaves in the mornings, lead columnist for Fantasy Golf at rotoworld.com, Mike Lascaux. Scott, who himself will be visiting Magnolia Lane in action on Friday. His thoughts and comments woven into tonight's Tuesday sports conversation. As we mentioned, simply, it's the Masters. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's along with our producers tonight, Jim Ritter and Rob Humphrey, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and as always, on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Glasscott and the kids. It's time for a little sports talk. Joe Smith here on a Tuesday night. All of our sponsors as well. Well, spring has arrived. A little pukey today weather-wise, but the Masters, as we know it, would have never been if the USGA hadn't turned down Bobby Jones's request to host the 1934 U.S. Open. He was a bit angry about it all, so he and a fellow by the name of Clifton Roberts decided to stage their own event. And as we say, the rest it has been history for decades. And Lance, welcome on board. We always get excited kicking off the Grand Slam, the Masters Tournament, having you on board. And, you know, like we have said so many times, there really is no other.
Yeah, it's definitely a good transition from college basketball right to the Masters, right? It's kind of a great week, and it's something everyone looks forward to, especially for those of us who have not been able to get out and play golf yet. It kind of kick-starts our golf season here in Central Indiana, Joe.
Well, you know, it's a little harder than filling out a bracket, although mine dissipated late in the goings-on. But let's just go through the wraparound season, Lance, and catch the listeners up on, again, we have had a lot of different winners, but we mentioned the name of Jordan Spieth. We might as well start right there because he has been just scintillating, and it is really scary just to think that he is only 21 years old.
Yeah, you know, I've had the privilege of knowing Jordan since he played junior golf a little bit, and then when he was at the University of Texas, getting to spend a little bit of time with him. And, you know, honestly, I'll admit, I was a little bit of a critic. I didn't really think Jordan was going to be what everybody thought he could be. I just didn't really see it. I guess I was one of them in the minority, but he has definitely turned a lot of heads and shown that not only can he win out there any given week, he looks like he has the makeup and the game and the personality, the demeanor, everything you want to possibly be the number one player in the world. And, you know, it's really exciting because in golf, Joe, it goes month to month on which guys we're talking about. And although Rory is kind of everyone's thought to be the best player in the world over the last year or two, Rory's not playing anywhere near what Jordan Spieth's been doing the last, you know, couple, 3 months. So it's what's neat about golf. And so all eyes are on Jordan. And boy, what a story that would be is if he could go there and continue the form he's been showing and win this week at Augusta.
Well, I tell you, we've got our 10 questions all lined up, what some of the storylines would be. And it's interesting that, you know, you mentioned Rory McIlroy, and it's not like he has had the scintillating success. Doing a little research, just at Augusta, in 22 rounds, he's had 11 double bogeys and 3 triples and 5 rounds of 77 or worse.
Right.
So winning, let's just wait and see.
Yeah, the thing about Rory, and I heard him talking today in his press conference, he talked about he may play the course too aggressively. And you hear a lot of guys talk about that. Phil talk about learning how to dial it back when you need to there. and being patient and letting things come to you. And maybe that's what, you know, maybe Rory can do that at Augusta. Maybe he can't. Maybe it just doesn't fit him well, even though everyone seems to think his game is tailor-made for Augusta. He's got to learn to be a little bit more calm and patient out there. And I think we've seen it time and time again from him where he looks like he's been the favorite, or look like he's going to stroll to victory, and has made that big number, and before you know it, you know, he's not wearing a green jacket.
Well, it was last week, actually it was earlier this month, a good friend of ours, Kelly Ireland, sent us a note, 12 things you never knew about the Masters in Augusta National. He didn't devise the list, but it was posted by Lauren Zegelwitz, and it's interesting to note that you should never, ever hear the word championship if you listen to the telecast, or if you're on Sirius Radio and dial in the PGA Radio. The U.S. Open, the British Open, the PGA, of course, are held by the major ruling and organizing bodies of the sport. But the Masters, Lance, is an invitational tournament held at a very, very pretty golf course, given prestige by the involvement of one Bobby Jones, and really the winner is not the champion of anything. And words you shouldn't hear, for instance, and you've been there before, and fans, bleachers, sand traps, front and back nine, the officially preferred words at Augusta National: patrons, observation stands, bunkers, and first and second nine. That last distinction aimed at, you know, avoiding use of the phrase front side for the first nine, leading inevitably to the so vulgar backside for the next nine. So it is an all different kind of venue, and one of the prettiest in the world.
Yeah, that's the appeal to it, the exclusiveness of it, because of its differences. It's, you know, not being able to get in there, not being able to ever play the course unless you're, you know, invited by a member. That's kind of why. And another thing, you know, before they, you know, it wasn't until just recent history, Joe, where they actually showed the front nine on television. You used to not even be able to see that. So there was such a mysterious element to Augusta National and the Masters, and that's kind of what made it what it is. And you know, it's got such a draw. I mean, you can go there and eat lunch for $4 or $5. You know, so it's just a very unique place, and one that I just, you know, don't see anything ever going sour with it.
Well, you know, and still, you know, price is relatively cheap. Price of a domestic beer or sandwich at the tournament, thanks to Augusta's notoriously inexpensive concessions, $3. I mean, you know, you can have a sandwich and walk around the course. It's interesting to note that 90% of the golf carts used in America are produced in Georgia, adding yet a little bit more. And, of course, we have the green jacket and all that goes with the champion. Well, the big storyline, and really we take a look at some of the biggest storylines, and Lance Ringler from contributing writer for Golf Week magazine joining us as we take a peek at Pro Golf's first major coming up with the first round on Thursday. How will Tiger Woods play? First of all, we know he's there. He's been out of action since February. Nothing was going right for him. Back problems again. What are you hearing, and how do you think he'll play this week?
You know, that it's such an interesting thing with him. Every time he comes back, the buzz is so it's through the roof. And this week, for example, it seems like it's no one's making predictions. No one's saying anything about what his game. They're just kind of looking at him and saying, "Wow, he looks good. He's listening to music. Looks like he's having fun. He's smiling." And I think no one even wants to journey down the path of what Tiger Woods' game may be like. Because, you know, we all thought when he came back this year, earlier in the year, that he was back and ready to go, and his ball speed was better, his swing speed was up. And then look what he did. You know, he's finishing last in fields. He can't chip. So I think that's kind of it just adds to it even a little bit more. I guess, to be honest with you, Joe, I would think he would make the cut. I really do. It's a smaller field. The field's usually not as strong here because it doesn't have all the top 100 players, obviously. So I would think he would make the cut. Can he get in position on Sunday? I would doubt it, but you just never know. You just never know with that guy.
Well, I know one thing, and he has slipped on four green jackets. We do know that for a fact, so he knows the course. But as you mentioned, I tell you what, Augusta National can flat be nasty, and if that wedge game isn't a lot better than it was the last time he played in a tour event, it could be brutal.
Yeah, the one thing about golf is for the people who are skilled and play it, the short game, putting in the time, that's pretty much the easiest part of your game to get back, as opposed to maybe, you know, your long shots or your drivers or shots of that nature. So if he's been putting the time in at home, I would suspect that his short game is probably ready to go. It's not going to be in tournament form or even major championship form for that most part. But I don't expect us to see what we saw out in San Diego from him earlier this year, or even down in Phoenix. I would expect him to at least have that figured out. But then again, we don't know.
Yeah, and that's what makes this week in particular one of extra special close watch, if you will, for all of us that stand from afar and will be listening and watching as the Masters unfolds at Augusta National on Thursday morning. Lance Ringler joining us from Golf Week magazine a little bit later. Our good friend Mike Glascott, and he is the lead columnist for Fantasy Golf at rotoworld.com, making a trip to Augusta with his brother, I might add, and they'll be peeking in on some activity in round number two. All of that's ahead. You're listening to Sports Talk. Back in a couple of minutes. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Corner of 10th and Indiana. It's a Tuesday night. Sports Talk. The Masters ahead of us on Thursday morning. And you know, Augusta's certainly not a place for underdogs and long shots. It's a course where thoroughbreds, to use a Kentucky Derby term, kind of thrive. It's not the U.S. Open where you can par your way to history. The green jacket has to be won. And with that, Lance Ringler, as we engage in a little conversation, are we down to maybe 15 to 25 that really have legit shots? I mean, the neat thing about this tournament, too, is the showcase of some of the top amateur talent in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but this year the amateur field, I think, is pretty weak. We don't have any big name. We don't have a big name college player in there. We don't have that big name amateur we used to see, and it's a pretty weak amateur field this year. The one thing interesting, you make a point about 15 players. That's kind of been the trend, you know, where it went when Tiger won by so many shots so many years ago. You know, making it longer, making it harder, doing what they can, and it seems like the profile, if you were going to profile the perfect player to win Augusta, yeah, it turns into that Dustin Johnson and J.B. Holmes types players, those guys that hit it a long, long way, which definitely shows us why scoring on the par fives there is so premium. Those guys are such advantage. But I think there's still a place for that guy who could find the fairway, find the green, and stay patient and kind of outlast the course conditions and keep themselves in position. There's a feel that it's a long, long players park, but I think, you know, that's the mystique to it. I mean, there's always a room in the game, you know, when a Mike Weir jumps up and wins or a Trevor Immelman jumps up and wins there. But I tell you what, I don't know if there's anybody that looks better than a Bubba Watson on that golf course.
Well, it's interesting you mention Bubba, because he goes for three wins in 4 years, and we're talking about slipping on those green jackets, and he would join Jack Nicklaus as the only two ever to do that in the space of 4 years, Lance. And last year, he beat Jonas Blix and Jordan Spieth by three shots. He shot a 280. You're looking for something in the neighborhood. How are you hearing? How's the course? You know, it's always set up very, very tough, calling for premium shots and no mistakes. What are you hearing about the course heading into round one?
If I'm correct, I believe the weather's supposed to be a little bit sketchy as far as maybe some damp conditions. It might rain a little bit. And I think that'll play in the favor of the players if that happens. It'll soften, keep things soft. And if that, you know, we could get double digits. You know, I could see 11, 12, 13 under winning if that's the case. And, you know, and it still provides a good tournament. I think it's unlike the U.S. Open, where over par is usually, you know, par is usually a great score, and players who, you know, finish a couple over are in the hunt. Augusta, if you have a winner at 1 or 2 or 3 under, or you have a winner at 16 or 17 under, it's still exciting. And it creates a lot of drama.
Well, you know, in the big stage, Rory McIlroy thrives. But, you know, the question, can he net the Grand Slam at Augusta over the course of these next 4 days?
You know, I don't think he will. I honestly don't. He hasn't played a lot of great golf coming into this point. I think it does him some good having Tiger back, having the focus on on Bubba having Jordan playing so well. He could kind of lay back a little bit and put himself maybe in position. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of other guys that going in here with a lot of confidence. And I don't expect him to get the grand slam there this week.
You know, Jordan Spieth, we mentioned his name. And, again, he finished three shots behind last year. But certainly, you know, he's charging up the ladder. I think I may be mistaken, but I think he's fourth in the world right now. You're looking at a kid that nearly won Houston, won at San Antonio, and did win at Tampa, and a little distraction out of the bunker on 18 in the playoff last Sunday down in Houston may have cost him a shot to maybe catch J.B. Holmes, who won the event. But what do you like about Spieth's mental approach to the game? I mean, the guy, he just seems like it's effortless, and he's just enjoying himself out there.
Yeah, Jordan's a product of the new style of golfer. You know, you don't realize how big and strong he is until you stand next to him. I spent a couple days with him last year in Texas at the AJGA event that he sponsors, and I did an interview with him and chatted with him. You don't really realize he's an athlete, Joe. And when you stand next to him, he looks like he could be a two guard. And speaking of that, his brother's a Division I college basketball player at Brown University. His brother might be 6'7 or 6'8. So he comes from an athletic family. And that's the thing about him. There's a lot of guys like him now. You look at him and you're like, wow, that's a golfer. And he just, you know, he drives it well, he putts it well. You know, in his mentality and his demeanor on how he approaches things, it's different than what people were used to seeing in golf a long time ago. It's just a different mindset, and that's all attributed to Tiger Woods and making the game cool. There's a lot of guys. I'm not saying there's a lot of guys like Jordan, but there's a lot of guys in that category.
You know, you mentioned his demeanor, and he wasn't a hothead when he first broke onto the scene, but he would let certain shots upset him. It doesn't seem. I mean, he grew to. I mean. Again, we go back to last Sunday. That was, too bad.
Right.
But, I mean, he didn't throw a club or, he didn't grimace that much. Looks like he's taking it all in stride.
Yeah, and I would expect him to be right in the thick of things this week for two reasons. One, he almost won last year, second last year, and he comes into this event playing as well, probably better than anybody in the world. Those two things should equal success.
You know, we talk about questions revolving around. I know you were looking on your computer and keep obviously very close touch with what is going on the PGA scene. Will a first-timer, a first-time major winner maybe emerge starting Thursday and ending on Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, we've grown to expect that a little bit sometimes. We don't have the Ernie Els every other year or what, or we just don't see the same type of guy winning. It has been different. You started going back to when Keegan Bradley and guys like that. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if you had like a Jimmy Walker, a Jason Day. I mean, all these guys. There's a lot of guys. You got the guys that fit the profile: Ryan Palmer, Brooks Koepka, all these type of guys. There's so many guys that have never won a major. Yeah, I would say you'd probably get decent odds on that in Vegas on a first-time major winner winning this week.
Well, I mean, and you mentioned Jimmy Walker. I mean, we throw in Sergio, Dustin Johnson, Henrik Stenson, Lee Westwood, Hunter Mahan's another, Matt Kuchar, who just played terribly last week at Houston and finished next to last to a guy that has been doing pretty well in majors, placing in top fives, and that's Ricky Fowler, Brant Snedeker.
Yes, so to answer your question, yeah, we could very easily see a first time, unless it's a lefty, because I think a lefty's won six of the last 12 here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't. And J.B. Holmes, I mean, I would think that his game, as far as he hits it, if he's throwing his golf ball well, he can be. I wouldn't be surprised to see him getting a hunt.
Lance, it's like we scripted this before we came on the air, and we didn't. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. You were talking about lefties. How many more years does lefty Phil Mickelson have in him? Put a couple of good rounds together, and then the last two.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him win this week either. I mean,
I think you took him here a year ago here at this establishment.
His form here the last couple of weeks has been good, and he knows his way around there. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised one bit to see him get in the thick of things and win.
How key is it for the game? I mean, will we get maybe a top 10 showdown? I mean, regardless, we touched on a lot of names. You know, Spieth, Fowler, Watson, McIlroy, Garcia, Day. Jimmy Walker, guys that are playing well. He's still leading the FedEx Cup points. But how key is that to maybe enhance the game to millions watching in?
It's a great question, Joe. It's something we talk about a lot at Golf Week about, you know, and the bottom line is that you, unless it's John Daly and Tiger Woods going off on the last group on the fight, there's just not a lot. Because golf, I mean, I think what you look at Tiger and Phil and the rivalry that
right.
that the fans and the media have tried to make. Those guys have only been paired together maybe once or twice in the final round in their entire career. Think about that. I mean, you got you know, football games and basketball games where you always get those rivals going up. It just doesn't happen very often in golf. So, yes, it would be nice if Tiger got in the hunt with a Rory or Phil and Jordan Spieth coming down. But the bottom line is there's always a Jonas Blix mixed in there or a Miguel Angel Jimenez. And those guys just don't move the needle like these other guys. Ricky Fowler would be great. Ricky Fowler's a guy that can move the needle. There's so many people that follow him. So, you know, to answer your question, golf has learned to adjust and evolve around not having that. And we just take what we get and see what happens.
Well, and you were mentioning some of the oldies but goodies, and Thomas Bjorn. I mean, not that he is some crusty, senior, but Bernhard Langer last year fired a 288. He was top 10. Stuart Sink, Jim Furyk.
Well, Jim's only had, I think, I looked this up the other day in my column I wrote, or it was some stuff I was doing. I think he's played 18 Masters. I think he's only got 3 top 10s. So it's just something about that place doesn't
fit him
well.
Horses for courses.
But, however, in those 18 events, I believe he's made the cut maybe every time. Maybe only missed one cut or two, but he makes the cut and plays. He just doesn't seem to find his way to the top of that leaderboard on the weekend.
You know, Adam Scott, and not the putting woes, but he has been relegated to, taking it out of his, his anchor spot, if you will, into his chest. But what are you hearing?
Well, he's got his putter back, I believe, this week.
Okay.
So he hasn't, I'm sure he's been practicing with it. And, if he's comfortable, he's one of those guys that is a guy you have to keep an eye on.
What are some things as we kind of wrap things up and get ahead and talk with Mike Lascott from Fantasy Golf at rotoworld.com, and he's all excited about heading down to the Peach City of Augusta. But what are a couple of things we should look for heading into that first round and through the weekend, do you think?
Well, I think you just gotta. It depends on what. If you gotta pay attention to kind of how the big names are. I think a lot of people are always focused on the big names, and as long as they don't get themselves, too far over par. I think those guys. If you could keep yourself around even par, because you look, Joe, the winner might be 7, 8, 9 under. And we all know that there's 65s out there on a Sunday. We've seen it happen in the past. And I think you're looking for those very patient, consistent rounds. A guy can get 1, 2 under going into the weekend, and then they got a chance. That's all you can really ask for, is give yourself a chance.
And only 7 guys last year at Augusta shot below par. I mean, we're in red numbers. So
right. That's the key.
And again, that's what makes the Masters and Augusta National what it is.
Right.
The mecca of pro golf. Hey, we'll have you in for the other majors, as we always have done, whether it be high atop One City Center on our studios this summer with the rest of the majors. But enjoy the weekend, and as always, my friend, thanks for dropping in and lending your expertise.
I get to head out to the West Coast and watch some college golf this weekend.
All right. So. It sounds great.
Looking forward to it.
Well, you'll throw some more ringers into the Lance Ringler ring and give us something to think about in that regard. Hey, before you leave, you got a upcoming interview with we were talking about Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, I'm spending I get 30 minutes with Rory down at a big junior tournament in Georgia. So yeah, looking forward to that, and I'll let you know how it goes.
All righty, my friend. We'll look forward to reading that in Golf Week. Lance Ringler joining us. And when we come back, our very own Mike Glascott. He is the lead columnist for Fantasy Golf at RotoWorld.com. And, yeah, just like the NCAA tournament, there are golf drafts coast to coast. And a lot of people, interested onlookers. And we'll get a word's eye view from Mike Glascott when we come back, and not to mention he's been making or will make the trip to Augusta with his brother, starting and watching play on Friday. Glass in the evening when we come back. You're listening to our Masters special tonight. We're live from Yogi's on Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone, along with our producers tonight, Jim Ritter and Rob Humphrey, high atop One City Center. About 34 minutes past the 36 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, and you hear him every morning. Glass in the morning, glass in the evening, glass
at
all
time.
The time. Mike Glascott joining us. How you doing, my friend?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I wanted to get two different slants of the Masters, and Lance Ringler, who joined us from Golf Week magazine. Doing a great job talking about interviewing Rory McIlroy in a couple of weeks, so we'll all read about that. But always look forward to his expertise
because he follows the game. Lance, because Lance was the one who connected me with the Roto World folks a long time ago, and here we are 4 years later. So Joe, you got one in the bullpen. You got the lefty and the righty you can go to on a Masters week.
No question about it. And that's why I wanted to bring you in, and that's how it really all started. You know, you're right in year four. But talk a little about your duties now and fantasy golf at RotoWorld.com. That is the website.
Yeah, it's great. The fantasy game, everybody knows, with the NFL and Major League Baseball has been huge. Fantasy football does trillions of dollars a year. And fantasy golf was something I didn't know about at a national stage. But we play it here locally, and we've got guys that dabble in it and do this, and you've got a game here and a game here. But there's a game with the Golf Channel. There's a game at PGAtour.com. There's a Yahoo game. Guys have games like we do all over the place. And I didn't know there was this demand for information. And Lance hooked me up with one of the guys over there and asked me if I wanted to get into it. And I said, well, you know what, Joe, I try to beat you every week in our fantasy golf draft, so I might as well get paid to try and do it somewhere else. So I was doing some of the work, not as much work as I do now, but it was just fun to get involved. And I like doing research. I like looking up stuff. I like trying to figure out trends and why things happen. And I love golf. I can't play it like 99.9% of the population. So it's fun to take a look at these guys to see what makes them tick, pay attention to the courses, pay attention to who's hot and who's not. So it's been cool is what it's been. And I've got a lot of things going on in my life, which everybody does. But this is kind of a nice work escape all at the same time.
Well, lately you're not only getting paid from Roto World, you're getting paid from Smitty. And that part of the equation is going to come to a close. But how excited are you? You went down, think about 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2011. We went to a practice round.
Practice rounds. Now tell us how this all evolved. And one lucky hombre, you and your brother are headed south.
We are. And last year, I believe Masters for the first time put out tickets for competition play to the lottery. Back in the old days, you were on a waiting list, you did that, you did everything they want. The Masters, remember, is their own tournament. They run whatever they want to do, however they want to do it. They don't have to answer to anybody on this. This is not run by the PGA. It's not run by anybody else. They have a tournament. They do what they want. So in the old days, you could put in for the lottery for practice round tickets, which is great. Monday practice, Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice round in the par three competition. So last year, I got on an email, saw it, said, hey, why not? What's the worst thing that can happen? And I feel bad for some of these people. They said, look, we've been in the lottery for 30 years. We've never gotten a sniff. And I put it in the first time, and boom, there's a pair of tickets for Friday's competition round. Not even a practice round. So, yeah, you gotta be lucky sometimes in life. So me and my brother are going to head down on Thursday after radio in the morning and catch the second round of competition. Weather, hold off. Please hold off. Please hold off. But going there in 2011, Joe, was a great experience. To see what you see on television, it's unbelievable to see it on the ground. You've never seen grass that green. You've never seen sand that white. The elevation gets completely lost on television. You cannot tell how hilly it is, the ups and the downs and everything else. And seeing these guys play that course and seeing how it's ran,
It's quite an experience. It's one of those things, if you're a golf nerd or a golf fan, you need to do it once in your life, and you got to get lucky. And yep. that's what happened to me. So I'm very blessed and lucky to be doing this.
Well, and too, like we were talking with Lance Ringler, the whole language concept is different. Now you and Brian will become patrons and not fans.
That's right. And we'll walk in the first cut, not on the rough. And,
if you have a seat, you'll be going to observation stands and not bleachers.
Exactly,
so,
right.
Those are some of the things that, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, and we see it on television. And there was, well, more than 40 years ago during a tense moment, Jack Whitaker, who a long-time CBS sports commentator, golf commentator, used the word mob to describe the scene around a green. Well, the Masters leadership let CBS know that he wouldn't be invited back, and you know what? He wasn't.
And neither has been Gary McCord. Gary McCord referred to the greens as slick as bikini wax and slicker than a Jamaican pickpocket. He has not done CBS's coverage anymore either. And we won't get into the Ben Wright story.
No.
We all know about
it. Yeah, we won't go there.
That's not good.
But let's go up your alley and talk a little about your duties. Give us how you began. Of course, you had to write a column. And J.B. Holmes won the Shell Houston Open.
Yeah,
and,
so each week I write a preview column to tell you about the course, what's the trends, what's happened, any new designs, any new changes, the extended holes, shortened holes, how the course has played over the last X amount of years.
Okay.
And then we do that on earlier in the week, obviously, because guys are getting their lineups, trying to get them set up, ready to go. And then we'll take you through games, the major games like we talked about, the Yahoo game, the Golf Channel game. And we'll give you our angles on what we would play if we're ahead, if we're behind. So we try to help guys. Joe, just like anything else, you play fantasy sports all the time. If you don't have time to do the research, we're your Cliff's Notes. You go to our column and you look up, hey, this guy's done the homework. I've got 20 minutes before my wife and kids get home to set my lineup. Here's what Glass thinks. Here's what my buddy Rob Bolton thinks. Here's what Lance Ringler thinks. I'm going to pick a guy here, here, and here because those guys are doing their homework. So what we try to do is we try to give you a base of foundation of why guys are going to play this course better or worse than other courses, why this is a good fit to their eye. We wrap up the tournament on Sunday, go back and give you a run through of how it came about, how the guys won, how the course played, what the effects were on the players. So, and then we have a live chat during the week as well where people can access us. They can do it on Twitter all the time anyhow, but during this live chat, you know, for a couple hours on a Wednesday afternoon, you can say, hey, look, I can't figure out if I want to play Bubba or Adam Scott this week at Augusta. What do you guys think? Well, of course, we say, well, go read the column first. But then, but if you got some definite questions about how you want to do it, we're here to help. And the cool thing about golf, it's kind of like football, Joe. Fantasy football, you set your lineup once a week, right? You got one game. It's not baseball where you got six nights a week where you can be moving guys around. So we get you ready for the week, and then after the week we wrap it up and try to answer your questions. And the great thing about social media, Twitter and Facebook, guys can access you anytime you want. Some guys have games they play. You've heard of the daily fantasy games where you make your lineup daily, just not for the tournament. So it's a very, very – I think golf is just scratching the surface of this. I think there's one of these fantasy sites, Joe, that has a $1 million winner for the Masters.
It's just caught fire.
It has. And football started all of it, and that's – you follow the leader. You see what these guys do. You see how many guys play baseball, basketball, golf. It's just everywhere. And it's fun, and it really is. The interesting part about it, though, is you can win all this money, but no state wants to legalize gambling on anything besides Las Vegas on any of it. So it is what it is. But it's fun, and it's Masters Week, and there's no more exciting time than that. I know you're a big fan of the golf. All the major tournaments, and I'm not going to ask you who you're picking just yet, but I'm gonna write down who you're looking at here.
Well, I'll get to pick your brain as well. You think I invited you on and not going to get your top three counts before I go
I'm
online?
I'm going to throw a couple red herrings out there since we will be playing playing against each other coming up tomorrow.
You know, you look and of course the Masters starts the majors, and there are a lot of storylines. We touched on a few with Lance Ringler from Golf Week, but talk to me a little about how extensive was your research, if you will, and when did you start it? I know you just didn't start it on the Masters on Sunday.
The great news the great news about the Masters is it's a number one the tournament that everyone pays attention to, quite simply because it's played on the same course every year, so everybody's familiar with the holes. Most people, that if you've followed golf I can't say flowering crabapple and you're going to know what hole that is, but if I say, hey, number two, you'll say, oh, yeah, the big par five. So there's things at Augusta that don't change, that remain the same, that make our jobs not necessarily easier, but consistent. Augusta's got four par fours. They're all accessible. You have to be able to score on those holes. They have some tough par threes where you get in and get out. But I think the one thing about that course and watching it on television, what you see, it's the same guys every year. Why is that? The experience matters, Joe. There's only so many places on those greens you can tuck pins. There's only so many places you can miss it. There's only so many things you can do correctly and incorrectly. And when you look at the guys over the last 10, 15 years that have played this tournament, there's a lot of them that are really good at it, and a lot of them are really bad at it. There's not a lot of guys in the middle, and that's the familiarity of reading the greens, knowing where to miss, knowing when to hold them, when to fold them. So that's why people like to watch the Masters. And the other key is, here's the number one key why people love this golf tournament. You have to win it on Sunday afternoon. The U.S. Open, you survive. You try to make par and get the hell out of there as fast as you can and let other guys fall apart. The British Open, the Open Championship, who knows if it's going to be an 80-mile-an-hour gust? Who knows if it's going to be snowing, raining sideways?
Good point.
The luck of the draw on that. The PGA Championship, that's kind of a – the PGA tries to get it as long and dirty as possible, and it usually favors guys that hit it a mile. But this course – this tournament, you've seen guys like Zach Johnson win, who don't hit the ball very far. You've seen guys like Mike Weir win, that don't hit the ball very far. You've seen Woods, Singh, Mickelson, Cabrera, and guys like that, Bubba Watson and Adam Scott, who have absolutely overpowered the course. But you see a great course that develops it. But the back nine on Sunday is what? That's when the tournament starts. Bobby Jones created that course where you had to win it and not survive it. You take chances, you're rewarded if you hit good shots. If you don't, you're in the creek.
Well, and that's what we were talking about. Certainly not a place for underdogs and long shots, because we arrived, and you just rattled off six. We arrived at maybe, I don't know, in 15 to 20, is that, you know, is that in the ballpark of guys that can win it?
Yeah, here's the deal. 20 of the last 22 winners, I believe, I have this number in my column somewhere, have been in the world, or 24 of the last 26 have been in the top 35 in the world that have won this. Listen to these two names that weren't. Angel Cabrera in 09 was 69th, and Zach Johnson was 54th. Guys that you hear today, and you think, well, geez, how are they that low in the world ranking? So those were the bad guys, Joe, that won it. 20 of the 26 players, the winners, last 26, have been in the top 20 in the world. So it is Chalk City, baby. You can pick the guys out. Trevor Immelman was like 29th. You can just start throwing the guys out that you think, well, do I want to take a chance on a guy this week? No, you really don't, because the cream players rise to the top in major golf tournaments. And that's what the Masters has shown us. Now, again, Charles Schwartzel, great South African player, won it in his second try, birdied the last four holes, back to winning the golf tournament. He didn't survive and bogey home. Bubba Watson won it in his third try. That's very, very, that doesn't happen a lot at all. So the average winning age is about 32 and a half. The average start is about your 6.5 start. So what does that tell us? Younger up-and-coming guys have hit it a long way, but have played a few times and have figured out the nooks and crannies and how the greens break and how everything else breaks. And, Joe, if I know that every putt on that golf course breaks to the front of the green on number 12, you would think most of those guys would know that as well.
How important for the game of golf on the world scene, how important is it to start seeing more rivalries, Spieth and Fowler, maybe Watson, McIlroy, Garcia, Day. How good would that be for the overall spectrum of the game?
It hasn't been a time in the last 50 years where we've said, geez, there's been no rivalries in golf. It has to continue. It usually does. But remember, Joe, the one thing that frustrates me to a degree, but I don't, not in the sense I'm staying up at night, when Tiger Woods, hey, he hasn't won a major since 2008, right? Rory McIlroy's won four majors in that time. Bubba Watson's won two. Phil Mickelson's won two. So you haven't had anybody that ran away and took the mantle and went with it. So is the game diluted? Yes, it's diluted in a good way because there are so many better players. We've talked about Charles Schwartzel and Angel Cabrera and guys from all over the place that can win any week. The rivalry now The last four majors have been what? McIlroy, Keimer, and Watson. Those are all guys that have won major championships before. Hmm. So those are the guys that have been there and done that. But, yeah, if Jordan Spieth wins this week, is that going to be bad for golf in any way?
No.
Oh, my gosh, you mentioned it earlier. If Bubba Watson wins his third green jacket in 4 years, Jack Nicklaus is the only other guy to do that.
Yeah.
Those are things that today's game is tough in the rivalry sense because, number one, not everybody plays the same schedule. But if you're going to judge it by the majors, you have to win them. And that's the other thing. Phil Mickelson had how many chances when Tiger Woods was hurt to add to that and add to that and add to that. And he didn't put himself in a different class. Now he's got five major championships, Joe. Rory's got four.
Yep.
that's just how the math works out.
And we talk a little about McIlroy, and obviously
he's
I mean, oh. You know, here he is. I mean, he's sitting on the verge of the career Grand Slam. But that being said, and we mentioned this with Lance, in 22 rounds at Augusta, 11 double bogeys, 3 triples, and he's had 5 rounds of 77 or worse. Now, does he have the mental?
How many times has he played? 5? Is that right?
11 doubles. He's had
5 tournaments?
22 rounds at Augusta.
So he's had 6 tournaments. So if the average winning time is playing at 6.5 times, he kind of falls right in there.
Wow.
How old is he? 20. He's a little bit young on the young side, but he started so early.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with McIlroy. McIlroy's on a different planet because of the talent level, because of the way he plays, the way he prepares. He has been labeled the chosen one or the next one since he's been 8 or 9 years old, Joe.
Yeah.
And we just talked about it. He's won one less major than Phil, and he's, what, 26, 25?
25.
So I'm not going to get upset that McIlroy's had a few bad rounds here. Heck, he hit one over in 10 by the cottages where no one even knew there were cottages over there. He's learned from his mistakes, but we've seen him win the U.S. Open by 8 shots. We've seen him win.
You've been nominated.
He just keeps he kills people. When he gets it going, there's no one better than him. And if there's going to be weather this week, he cannot be dismissed. Why? He won Congressional on a 7,600-yard track, a U.S. Open, fairways as wide as this table. He won by 8 shots. He beat Jason Day by 8 shots. So if you can count McIlroy out at your own peril. And, again, back to what we talked about earlier, Joe, the guys that usually win here have played here before and played here and had success before. You don't get too many guys that fluke it right to the top.
Well, as we close out things, and Mike Lascott, the veteran, the lead columnist for the last several years for Fantasy Golf at RotoWorld.com. All right, spit it out. Give me the top three.
The top three in this year's Masters, in my opinion.
Well, that's why I've got you here, my friend.
In my opinion, there's going to be one caveat on this, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you my top five because I think it's interesting. Number one is Bubba Watson. He's won 2 of the last 3. You can't dismiss him, but he doesn't like playing in the rain, Joe, and he said as much. He gets upset at his golf ball. He can't curve it as much when he's got a wet club face. And you know what? Bubba has never been accused of being a strong mental player. So that's something you have to watch out if you're going to write him down automatically. Rory McIlroy, you just told me why. 11 double bogeys, 5 rounds over 77. All these guys have caveats. Jordan Spieth has played here once, T2. Great. He's got Ben Crenshaw in his back pocket. It's Ben's last year. If you want your Hollywood ending, there's Spieth. Yeah. I think Spieth has gone first, second, his last 3 starts. Jason Day, since he's been 13 years of age, Colin Swatton, his coach, and him have worked on his game to win at Augusta. There's only been one Australian to win. It was Adam Scott 2 years ago. Jimmy Walker is somebody else you have to keep an eye on. The Texan is on fire. He hits it a mile, Joe. He doesn't care if he sprays it. He's third in greens in regulation on tour, and he can flat out putt it. I'll give you one dark horse who I don't like.
Dark horses don't win.
But dark horses don't win. But this guy's a dark horse because he's ranked like 40-something in the world, Paul Casey. 3 top 7s in the last 5 starts, and he's had plenty of experience here, not recently. But Paul Casey, keep an eye on the Englishman as somebody maybe sneaking up off the radar on Sunday afternoon.
All right, again, Glass will have more relevant to the Masters. Fantasy Golf at RotoWorld.com. That is the website. Glass, you and Brian, safe trip down to Augusta.
Thanks, brother.
Bring us back a couple of memories. A
couple of hats. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll get you loaded up.
We'll
take care of you.
I'll take a white one this year.
White one? Okay.
A white one?
Well, they get dirty so fast. Get a green one, like the one I've got on. See that?
That is nice. With the year on it.
Yep.
There you go. Mike Lascott joining
us. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, my friend. You know that. We'll be back to close things out. Looking at simply the Masters. It starts First round action on Thursday at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. Back to close things out after these timeouts. This is Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Thanks again to Lance Ringler and also to Mike Glasgow filling us in on the Masters. This starts on Thursday. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. Reds baseball as well, as the pregame will hit the airwaves, the first of 115 games from the Great American Ballpark. The Reds and the Pirates, and our shortstop employee of the week, Jeff Winters, out at my favorite spot at the corner of 10th and Smith Road. Royal South Toyota Scion, of course, Yogi's, and Comprehensive Financial Consultants, all of our sponsors. For our producers tonight, Rob Humphrey and Jim Ritter, and, well, you've been listening, and Fred Glass behind the scenes, I might add. Next Tuesday night, we'll be right here at Yogi's. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1, AM 1370 WGCL. Good evening, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.